This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world. Changemakers, what is going on, everyone? Jay Wong here. Hope you're all having an amazing day, an amazing night, wherever you are listening to this. I am really grateful for each and every single one of you, and I would love to be able to tell you what we got going on behind the scenes. I'm literally in Toronto, and this year, out of all the other years, I've been going to a lot more, not just events, but curated events. Been curating a lot of my own dinners, literally just got back from one. And, you know, it's been really great to have that intimacy with the people that are in the room. I'm a big believer, as some of you are, and as some of you have heard me talk about on the podcast and on the show, I'm a big believer of the idea of your network is your net worth. And so if you want to increase your net worth, you want to increase the caliber, the relationships, the potential of the people that are around you. If you're hanging around people that you know, that are constantly going out, drinking, smoking, not that there's anything wrong with that, or even partying, you're gonna be more likely to do a lot of those activities. And I find a lot of my time actually just hang out with great people, people that are running businesses, people that are running their movements, people that are pursuing their goals, pursuing their passions. And it's really great. So one of the events that I had an opportunity to go to this year was by put on by a guy named Craig Ballantyne. Now, Craig was on the show really early on. You guys could scroll all the way back to find his episode. He's the author of The Perfect Day Formula. At his event, by the way, it is quite an investment to go to his event. It starts at $5,000. I don't know where it's at now, but I got a chance to meet Sarah. And the reason I bring Sarah up is because I recently got a chance to be interviewed by Sarah. And Sarah Fennell runs an amazing new podcast called The Fulfillment Project. And we were geeking out when we met. We had sat next to each other. And I thought she did such a great interview of not just highlighting what it feels like to be a first-time creator, but she really got me to reflect on what were some of those inflection points in my own life. What were those moments when my family was struggling, when they had to declare bankruptcy? What were some of those fears that I had right before I began? And it really brought me back. We talked about online marketing. We talked about the golden age of audio, and it was just a great episode. And after the interview, she had asked me all this advice on podcasting, and I had to run, but I was just sharing with her a couple kind of quick tips. And this is what hanging around great people does to you, right? Like, you get great energy from the interview, from the conversation. But then what Sarah did, which is what a lot of high caliber people do, is they apply right away. She applied it to her launch, and yesterday she sent me a print screen of her being number 4 in the marketing category. Gary V, Mr. Gary Vaynerchuk, owns that number 1 spot, so she's going after Gary. And it's exciting, right? It's absolutely exciting to get a chance to get anything that you launch out there, whether it's a course, a business, an event, to get it validated. I think it means the world to her, so congrats to Sarah. And as kind of like I was going to do this anyways, but I thought it would be really cool. If you guys want to go check out The Fulfillment Project, Sarah is putting on some amazing content, some amazing interviews. There's better content than even this episode. But, a little bias, obviously. But I thought this was a really great interview, and I wanted to share this interview with you. And so this episode's a little different. The tables are turned, and I'm in the hot seat per se. And I think there is a lot of great little nuggets here, especially for people that are first-time creators, especially for people that are looking to step into their leadership, step into being that change maker for who they are. I think it's going to make a world of difference for you. And I think a lot of times it's, monkey see, monkey do, right? So if you can model some of the things and some of my belief patterns, I know it's going to make a world of difference for you. And not to say that I figured all the things out, because, you know, God knows, like, I'm just figuring these things out. And I have so many little things I want to be able to share with each and every single one of you. Once I get back to Vancouver, I will give you a breakdown of some of the bigger ideas that I've kind of gotten during my time here in Toronto. But I'll leave it at that. It's probably a little longer than I wanted it to be, this intro. But here's the interview that Sarah Fennell did with me on the Fulfillment Project. Make sure to go subscribe and tell her how awesome her show is if you dig the interview, which, if I know anything about you, I know you're going to love it. Hey, we'll talk to you soon. And remember, being a change maker is not about changing the world. That's not what it's about. That's not what we're about. It's about becoming the best version of yourself so that you can make an impact. You can change the people's lives that's around you, and you can do it in the moments in life that matter the most. Can't wait to see you in another episode.
Jay, welcome to the Fulfillment Project. I am so excited to connect with you after we briefly met there not too long ago at Craig's event.
Yeah, Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure to come on, hang out, and kind of maybe continue some of the epic conversations we were having at that intimate mastermind. But really happy to just come on here and be able to contribute in any way to the Fulfillment Project.
Amazing. Thank you. And I love everything that you're doing. You know, we met at Craig Ballantyne's event there, and I heard you had a podcast, and I'm a little bit of a podcast whore, I have to say. I absolutely love them. Yeah, and then Joe's like, oh no, not another podcast.
Right.
So of course I'm like, inner change maker, what is this? And then I definitely reached out to you and I was like, I'm in love. Oh, you have a new subscriber. So I love everything that you are doing with your podcast. It's amazing.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm excited to see what, you know, when you guys have this and how that works for your marketing, because I talk about it all the time. The podcast changed so many different aspects of my life, and I'm immensely grateful for it. But I think it's also an amazing marketing tool to bet on moving forward, you know, whether it's 2018 or 2020 or even beyond. I think it's an amazing, really smart move.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to dive into, you know, your story and, you know, pick your brain a bit about podcasting and really give some nuggets of information to our listeners here. So I just want to scale back a little bit. I mean, your podcast is called The Inner Change Maker. What is an inner change maker? How would you define that?
You know, Sarah, if I had to be really honest about that, when I first started the show, I didn't put a definition to it. I didn't put a value system behind the change maker. Truth is, I didn't know what it meant. I knew like the ethos of it, right? People creating legacy, creating some level of impact, but it was pretty vague, right? And I look back on that, and I think one of the things I did right was that I was willing to launch without kind of having it perfect. And over the course of last like 200 plus like interviews and episodes, because of the people that are able to come on, because they were able to share their insights, their perspectives, their own life wisdom, it's really helped me in the last like 6 months to a year actually craft a perfect definition, you know, to what a change maker is. And so I'm so glad you started this way, because usually it takes a couple questions to kind of, you know, get here. But for me and for a lot of our people in our community, we believe that, you know, it's not about aiming to change the world. You know, a lot of people are super gung-ho, you know, when they first come out of the gate. Maybe they're starting their business, maybe, you know, they want to be able to impact a global community. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. To aspire to want to do that, that speaks volumes to the character of who you are as a leader. But if you look at how the leaders have done it, if you look at some of the great entrepreneurs and how they've been able to achieve that success, they didn't actually start out with the aim of doing that. What they wanted to do was actually work on becoming the best version of themselves, right? They wanted to optimize who they were, tap into their own genius, and ultimately be able to impact those closest to them. Whether it's their family, boyfriend, girlfriend, their partner, their students, their clients, whatever it is, be able to be a great leader for those people. And if you could start doing that, that's ultimately our thesis on how you can change the world. And so that's what a change maker is, someone who doesn't necessarily want to change the world, who they're not aiming to that. They're looking to become the best version of themselves.
I love that. And I think we're at such an amazing time, you know, with this millennial generation coming up, and people, I think as human beings, we generally want to make change. We want to impact people's lives. And it's not about the tools or modalities that you have. It's who you are and your experience and what you've been through and how you can really, you know, step up for other people. So you summarize that amazingly. I love that.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing, right? We all realize that as entrepreneurs, as movement creators and leaders, as writers and people with a message and people that want to share something with the world, like the wanting to do that, like we ourselves are the biggest asset, right? And sometimes, you know, we talk about it a lot of times, you know, whether we're working with entrepreneurs and launching their businesses or their podcasts, is that there's a lot of self-worth issues around, you know, taking care of ourselves and being good enough, right? But if you're willing to raise your hand and say, hey, I have the message to want to share the world and I want to be able to impact people on an emotional level as well as an external level, you have to take care of you, and you have to take care of you being that biggest asset.
Mm-hmm. And I believe in order to grow something, I mean, your level of success is always determined by that next level that you're able to push yourself and you're able to grow into. And I love personal development. I love that, you know, I met you at, yeah, you know, Craig's workshop there. It just goes to show how dedicated you are to your own growth.
For sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, being in little intimate, you know, shout out to Mr. Craig Valentine, yeah, right? Because, you know, for bringing together, mm-hmm, like-minded people, there's almost nothing like it. You know, that will, you know, just kind of give you that clarity, but also accelerate your own results, your own growth, to be around other people that are growth minded, you know, that are out there, yeah, that they also want to go and crush it and be able to do all the things and be able to serve their family and be able to take care of people that they care about. I mean, you know, that's what I think all great leaders want. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of shedding all the BS that we tell ourselves and getting super clear and being able to execute on those things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, you've created something amazing for yourself and the movement that you have going on. Now, it wasn't always like this, you know, life doesn't always start out with rainbows, yeah, and butterflies. Yeah. And, you know, I know you've said before, you've went from, you know, sleeping on your parents' couch to now, you know, running, yeah, this successful company and having multiple businesses. I would love for you to, you know, take us back and tell us a little bit about how everything started for you. And was the podcast the catalyst for everything of, you know, of what you've accomplished and where you are now?
Yeah, you know, for whatever reason, and I don't even talk about this a lot, but when you were asking your question, this kind of came up for me. And, you know, when you say, like, you know, how did it all begin? How did it all start? And I actually think back, and what came to my mind was when we were, I was 16 years old. My parents ran this restaurant in a place called La Plata, Maryland. Okay. And I actually grew up, even though I'm Canadian, I grew up in the US. I spent my developmental years there. And we had just found out that they were going to shut down the restaurant. And not only that, but they were in so much debt that one of the, you know, obvious solutions, obvious, being that they were going to end up declaring bankruptcy. And that was kind of like my first introduction. This is before business school. This is before, you know, trying to be good at anything in life. Like, I was just a normal, you know, kid who was trying to be cool, try to fit in, just like a lot of people probably going through, you know, different stages of life. And, you know, all of a sudden my family was, you know, in this financial crisis. And I remember that night, you know, we're all crying, huddled in the back of the restaurant. No one knows what is going to happen next, you know. And I remember making a decision right there and then that I don't know how to solve these things. I don't know if I can help this business. I don't know if I can help my family. I don't know if I can be that person for them. but I'm going to figure out how to become the best of whatever this is. You know what I mean? I'm going to figure out whatever my gifts are, whatever, you know, people are telling me to do all the time and focusing on my grades and whatever it is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it all. And I'm going to be able to save my family and hopefully, you know, keep them away from pain. And, you know, it didn't end up that way. You know, we lost the restaurant. My parents declared bankruptcy. I was 16 years old. I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to be able to do that for them. And I remember that night, though, because it impacted the way I started looking at everything, the way I started attacking life, the way I started positioning myself, the way I started figuring out what my gifts and what my own, you know, talents were. And, you know, I was scared. I figured out what I was actually really good at about a year after that. You know, we can go into it if you want, but I ended up.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's kind of a long story, but, you know, long story short, I ended up becoming the male valedictorian speaker at my high school graduation. And it's super nerdy because I wasn't good at academics. Like, I had like a C average, you know what I mean? Like maybe like a B minus type thing. Never was good at anything. Never was great at anything. You know, ran track and field, couldn't even make the regional team because they only took the top four people. I was the number five guy, you know, like always like kind of missed out right at like that actual great level. And, you know, I somewhere along the way, I figured out the right room that I needed to be in. And it was the first talk I ever gave, Sarah. You know, first talk I ever gave, 4,000 people, Washington, D.C., Constitutional Hall. I don't remember the exact date, but it was one of the most life changing moments because in that moment, I knew exactly what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I knew that I knew that there was something there, but it's not a happy story because I spent the next 9 years, okay, no joke, I spent the next 9 years denying myself of what I knew when I was 17 years old. Just denying myself and saying, you know what, everybody's going to college or university, I gotta go. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still trying to fit in, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of my friends are going to business school. You know, heck, my parents lost their business and now they hate entrepreneurship and all this kind of stuff. And now our family's in borderline, you know, like we went from kind of middle class to we're, you know, borderline not in middle class. You know what I mean? And so I was like, maybe I'll go to business school. Maybe I'll get a little smarter so that I can avoid that down the road. I went through all those motions, you know, 4 years in business school, came out, maybe I need to get a job because that's what everyone else is doing. You know what I mean? Maybe I gotta go do this. And I went through for 9 years, literally denying myself of what I knew when I was 17 in that pure moment of this is what I think I can be great at. And it took me almost a decade to come back, to come in a full circle and realize I could have been spending all this time working on, you know, me, my gifts and creating the impact that I truly wanted to create. And so, you know, when I first started, I tried everything. You know, I tried writing blogs. I tried making videos. I tried, you know, should I be on Pinterest? Should I be on Instagram? Like all the stuff that you think you need to do. I tried it all. And fortunately, podcasting was kind of one of the last things that, you know, I wanted to give a go at. And I almost knew immediately that it was going to be something that was going to have a great impact because, you know, I can leverage, you know, communications, I can interview people. It gave me that flexibility. You know, I was shocked when we launched about 2.5 years ago that, you know, we started popping everywhere on New and Noteworthy and the top 100 and self-help. And at first it was in Canada, then it was in the U.S. And that honestly was a huge boost, a huge start to everything that we're running now.
I love the storytelling. I love hearing the journey because it's so easy to look at where someone is now and not understand that I think everybody needs to go through that learning process. And especially, you know, like what you said, you know, at 17 years old, you do usually end up on that, and I'm using bunny ears quotations here, that typical path to success, you know, go to school, get good grades, get a good job. And I think as a society, we're slowly coming out of that, but the school system has such a strength around, you know, young individuals because it's a business as well, right?
Yeah.
So I love that we have all these amazing streams and content and platforms to be able to get your message out there and to do what you want as an entrepreneur if you feel like that is your calling. So, you know, I condone you for, you know, really following back on what was speaking to you from the beginning. And I'm sure it wasn't an easy road.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times on these types of interviews or, you know, sometimes in publications, people always ask like, hey, what was the hardest part? Mm. You know, what was the hardest part of doing all of this? Right. And I always think like, it's, you know, this stuff is hard, like the day-to-day stuff and managing a team. Like, yes, you could say all those things are hard. The hardest part is that beginning part when you're just starting and you have those inner demons, you know, that are asking you, you know, who are you to think that anyone would listen, mm-hmm. you know, or who are you to think that anyone will read this? Who's going to watch this? What value do you have to give? Who's going to be there to support this? You're a nobody. You have no experience in this. What can you give? You know, and it's not anybody telling you this. The worst part is it's yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's yourself kind of beating yourself up for whatever reason. Maybe you're trying to keep yourself safe. Maybe you're trying to not expose yourself too much. But I remember those moments, and those were some of the hardest times to be able to still say, you know what, I acknowledge that, but I'm still going to show up. I'm still going to turn on the mic. You know, I'm still going to publish and I'm still going to upload, even though it looks bad, you know, even though it looks like a train wreck, because it kind of is in the beginning. Yeah. Right. And all real entrepreneurs and people that are starting something, they know that. They know it's insanely chaotic, right? And I think of the quote, like, every master was once a disaster. I don't know if that's the exact quote, but I just know that the only way to get to where you want to go is by executing and by refining your art and by refining your gift as you go. But you have to start first.
100%. And this is why I love doing these interviews and talking about people's stories, so that, you know, anybody listening to this understands that if you want something, you know, there's always going to be that voice inside of your head saying, you know, who are you to do this? And also, you know, then that impatience comes with thinking, it's not working. Is anybody listening? Is anybody watching? Does anybody care? And those who are truly successful, it's ignoring that voice and it's just moving forward. And I love, you know, earlier when we were talking about just putting yourself out there, whether you think it's perfect or whether it's not, and refining as you go. And I feel a lot of people, this is where they get tripped up, or this is where their success stops, is because they listen to those demons in their head and they're too worried about, well, it's not ready yet, it's not perfect yet, before they just launch themselves out into the world.
Yeah.
So when you started your podcast, what was that like for you from a launch perspective?
Yeah. So I have the belief that launching having a well thought out launch strategy for your podcast is going to make the biggest difference.
And you debuted as, you know, number one self-help. You were right up there with Lewis Howes and Brendon Burchard and all those big names. So I would love for you to dive into that with us.
So here's the thing. I launched no email lists, no like consistent social media, like posting. So if anybody listening to this, if you have anything of an email list, you know, if you have any level of a social media following, you're going to be starting with way more of an advantage than I did. But even if you have none of those, you could still do this, which is it's about anytime you launch anything, there's kind of like a cardinal rule, right? You have to get people involved in the launch so that they feel like they're launching with you rather than helping you on a launch. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like they need to feel like they're a part of the thing, right? So that they're invested into it. They want to see you succeed. And so the question becomes, how do you do that, right? How do you do that if you don't, you know, you're just starting out, you don't have the resources, you don't, you know, you're not driving traffic, or you don't have, you know, a team around you. How do you do that, right? So a couple different like levels. I don't know how tactical you want to get, but more than happy to dive into each thing. You know, I think going into your immediate network of getting people to be coming on board, the best way of getting anybody to come on board, in my opinion, whether it's how do you get on my show, or, you know, can we, you know, work together as clients, in even today, I still think a huge portion of this is the way that you reach out to them. And the way, if it's a, like a personalized email, if it's a personalized video, if it's a personalized audio, that itself goes in such a huge way, because people, we're living in a world where, you know, there's an abundance of content and emails and everything, right? Mm-hmm. People are being inundated all the time with almost everything. And so the second you take the time to personalize something, this is why writing cards are still very effective.
Absolutely.
You know, handwritten cards.
Someone took the time to put a stamp on that and send it to me.
It gets your full mm-hmm. attention, right, Sarah? Mm-hmm. So that's what people need to do. It's not about blasting people. It's not about, you know, your 8 email sequence. It's not about constantly putting the ad in front of them. Yes, to some degree, it is effective, right? But what will definitely get someone to take action, what will definitely get someone to notice, is if you are able to showcase that you took some time in crafting and reaching out to them and asking them to support you. That's how you're going to get that buy-in, right? Mm-hmm. And so I did that with my own network, literally got out a sheet of paper, wrote 20 to 30 names of people that would support me, right? University friends, high school friends, you know, teachers, people I used to work with, like anybody who was willing to give me a few minutes. Right. And mm-hmm. and that I thought would really help me. That's one segment of people. Another segment of people is people that you interviewed. Right. So especially if you're launching a podcast, I thought I went back. And this is not even something I did well, but it's something I always recommend to a lot of my students now to do, which is going back to those first initial interviews and saying, hey, we're launching on this date. Right. Who's willing to give us a little bit of support, and leveraging maybe their email list, mm-hmm. right? Leveraging maybe their social network, right? That's going to make an ultra difference as well. And a third segment for me was going back to those mentors, you know, going back to those people that kind of made a difference in my life. Maybe it was just an idea. You know, maybe I just, you know, maybe we had one conversation at one event, you know, maybe they don't even necessarily remember it too much. You know, going back to those people and saying that, you know, because of their idea, because of their thing, they were able to help me even get to the launch. Do you see mm-hmm. what I mean? And mm-hmm. so like they're invested to some degree, whether, you know, willingly or not, they're invested in my success, right? They want to see me do well, because if I do well, it means, you know, their advice was great. You know, it means that you know, that they're, you know, they were able to give me some value that was able to help trigger something in me. So those were the three little pockets of people. Everybody here listening, like, you can stop listening on, well, don't stop listening, but like, you know, if you're thinking of launching a podcast, even those three segments of people right now, everybody has those.
Yes.
Right.
And I think this is a valuable lesson for anything that you want to get out into the world. You need to ask for help. And so many people are afraid to ask for help or feel that it makes them look, you know, not capable. But at the end of the day, you can't just throw a post on social media and expect everybody to jump all over what you're doing. There needs to be that integrative approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. Here's a test for everybody, right? Let's just say we're really good friends. And let's just say we get on the phone and the first words, like literally the first words out of my mouth is, I need a favor from you. Mm. You know, if I start with that, you would have to really like me. You know, there's certain people in your life that they can almost ask for anything, right? And that's possible. But for most people, you know, if you're going to fall into that most category for people, that first sentence is going to trigger something in them that says, hey, I would love to help you, but you know how busy I am, right? Do you know how, you know, you're kind of taking something from their day. But in the way that you reach out, if you could bring them into an emotional state, if you can remind them of something, you know, something cool that you guys did, if you could highlight something from a positive standpoint and then maybe ask, that difference is pretty vast.
Mm-hmm. And it just humbles you when, you know, I need a favor or I need your help. Like, who is going to say no?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So the podcast game has been around for, you know, quite a few years. Do you feel it's too late to get into the podcast game? Or do you feel like we're at a really nice pivotal point where it's starting to really pick up?
I think this is a great, great question. And, you know, I am hesitating because I want to be right. You know what I mean? I want us to look at this, you know, a few years from now, and I want to be like, you know what? I was right on that. I think here's the thing. If you look into it, if you look at the numbers, and this is not Jay's opinion, okay? If you look at the numbers, there's 42, last year they recorded 42 million weekly podcast listeners. That number is big, but you know, let's put some context around that, okay? That number actually has more than doubled in the last 4 years, okay? Mm-hmm. And so people are listening to podcasts everywhere. Is it because podcast is a new thing? No. It's because podcasting has technically been around since before even 2006. People didn't call it podcasting then. They call it like internet radio or streaming audio or whatever it was. If you look at what's changed in the last 5 years, one of the things that's changed is the accessibility to podcasts. You know, you look at I was in an Uber the other day. And I literally got in. It was like a Honda Civic or something, nothing fancy. And they had a little dashboard in the car. And the guy said, "Do you have a Spotify playlist or do you have a podcast you'd like me to play?"
Oh.
And he had both of those pulled up.
Nice.
And I was like, man, this guy's going for the 5-star.
Yeah,
you
know, the over deliver.
Yeah, he's going for the over deliver. But I thought, wow, what a great question to ask in 2018. In fact, of course you would ask that question in 2018, right? Like, mm-hmm. it of course it's a thing that it's so embedded now in today's world. So, you know, the accessibility has changed. If you look at, you know, where iTunes is, was 5 years ago, but now there's so many different players from Google Play to Spotify, to the amount of money that Amazon Alexa is pouring into dominating that kind of voice at home, you know, category, right? And competing with Google Assistant, right? And you think about the way that people are buying things on Amazon Prime, right? And you know, how people are dating these days, right? With apps, how people are ordering food. What does that show you? It shows you that we're living on this on-demand society, right? Mm-hmm. So you have accessibility. That's increased. Technology is everywhere. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody that goes in any Uber has the option to play a playlist, a podcast, whatever it is. So the access is there. And we're living in a world where people want things right away, right? You order something on Amazon, it arrives the next day. You order, you know, a book, whatever it is. If you want food, it's only a few clicks away. You want a date, it's a few clicks away, right? And so what that shows you is that people, your potential customer, people that are listening that want to dive deeper on a certain topic, they're living in this world. They want to access the best content. They want answers to their questions right now on demand, and they know how to get it. Hmm. Whether it's on their cell phone, it's in their car, they know how to be able to tap into this. And so I think 2018, this is a turning point. This is a huge turning point where I would say the last 5 years or so, it's definitely been video, right? Who hasn't heard of, like, you gotta have video,
yeah,
right? We are living in the golden era of video, but ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, first and foremost, we are moving into the golden era of audio.
Mm. Yes.
Because this it's happening, right? Because what's ending up happening, and this is not just my opinion, if you listen to any of the influencers in social media, in marketing, in the way that they're creating things, everyone would love to watch your video. Everyone would love to watch an hour keynote that you gave to a $5,000 mastermind. But the truth is, are they sitting in front of their computer? Can they do it on the go, right? What's mm-hmm. easier? Video on the go or audio on the go?
Yeah, it's interesting. Joe and I have recently experienced this too. We did a 60-day to success challenge from January for 8 weeks. And we did 8 weeks of Facebook Live video. And we had quite a few people actually reach out. And they were like, are you putting these on a podcast? Because they were 20 to 40 minute long Facebook Lives. And it was, and people were like, I don't have time to sit here and watch this. And I'm thinking, well, of course, like, I don't even have time to sit there and watch all that. So you're absolutely correct with saying we are going into audio. And I mean, I listen to podcasts putting my makeup on or driving to the gym or, you know, if we have those little snippets of time to be taking in content, audio is hands down the best way to intake it.
For sure. And look, don't get me wrong. I love video, right? Like, my girlfriend's a YouTuber. Like, we started posting some stuff on my own YouTube channel. Like, I love video because it shows the mannerisms. It shows, like, all those kind of nuances, right? But let me be clear about this. With voice, there's a certain level of intimacy that it's really difficult to replicate almost in any other channel. Because if you think about it, people are literally, people right now, like just stop what you're doing right now and look at how you're listening to this, mm-hmm. right? Chances are you have Bluetooth headphones on, or maybe you have headphones on, maybe you're cleaning the house, maybe you're waiting at the bus, maybe you're at the gym, right? And you have these headphones on. It's a very intimate experience to have Sarah's voice, my voice, literally going into your brain, your ears, mm-hmm. right? And so, I can't tell you how many times, the first time that it really kind of spoke to me was this guy. He jumped on a call with me and he's, he said, "Oh my God, is this really Jay?" Right. And I was like, yeah, it's really me. You know, this is, I didn't have any employees at the time. And so he's like, he goes, "Jay, you have no idea. You have been to the gym with me so many times." And at the time I was like, I wasn't really working out by any means.
Isn't
and I was
that like, the weirdest thing though? You're like, what?
I was like, "Are you sure it's me?" I was like, this is Jay Wong. Like, I'm like in Europe right now. And he goes, no, that's the thing. I know you're in Europe. And I was like, okay, that's kind of creepy, but okay, cool. Keep going. And he goes, no, you don't understand. You've been in the car with me multiple times, multiple days, long drives, you and me, buddy. And I go, are you sure it's me? And then it clicked what he was actually saying. I was like, oh, like he's been listening to my podcast and he's gone through the last 10, 15, whatever episodes. Dude, this guy felt like he knew me.
He binged on you. Yeah.
Right? Like he knew who I was. He goes, yeah, you kind of say this a little too much. I loved your interview over here. So that relationship, that rapport, mm-hmm. was like instantaneous, like right there. It's like we've been, best friends, right? He knew all these little nuggets about my life. And I was like, wow, like this is a powerful thing, whether it's for a sales call, whether it's for coaching anything, whether it's just for building a deeper relationship with your current customers, right? Mm-hmm. I think every business owner needs to have some form where there it's like that authentic voice, that voice, I always say, be that voice of reason for your customers, mm-hmm. right? And so you get that chance with the podcast.
And, now more than ever, I think we're looking for more of a deeper relationship with those people that we want to work with. And if you can expedite that know, like, and trust process, you have a faster client. And I'm finding 100%. For myself with podcasts, it's almost like an Instagram effect for me with, hearing a podcast and they're interviewing another podcaster or an influencer that I never heard about or an author. And you just spiderweb yourself into, more people, more information and areas that maybe you would not have found on your own.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about people, once they listen, they really get the, authors have loved podcasts, knowledge experts, anybody with like a true like message or they're leading a movement, they've benefited huge from a podcast because you get your fans that they go, I love their stuff so much. I listen to all these different shows. I listen to different variations of them. And it also puts a great kind of pressure on the content creator to constantly be able to kind of innovate and create something a little different for each one.
So, I mean, our audience listening here, we target fitness professionals, personal trainers, those trying to build their brand. I'm going to hammer at you a few questions in order to help out our audience a little bit if they're considering starting a podcast or getting into a content stream.
Sure,
now,
yeah.
What would you say are three things someone should consider before starting a podcast?
Format would be the first thing in terms of, are you doing solo episodes? Are you going to do interviews? Are you going to repurpose talks? Is it going to be a combination of those, right? Formatting would be kind of like the first one. It's the first one when it comes to anything, right? Hey, I'm going to launch an Instagram channel. Well, what's going to be that schedule? What's going to be the form? Are you posting quotes? Are you posting videos, right? So formatting, number two would probably have to be schedule. Is it a schedule that you could uphold? So consistency is a big thing in our world, right? It's almost like the second you're inconsistent, you get forgotten. You know what I mean? So those are two kind of like tactical things. From a business owner standpoint, the biggest thing, one of the biggest things I think you need to think about is, are you making a podcast that's hyper, hyper niche in whatever the thing is that you want to do? Or are you going to go a little step above, kind of like the bigger overarching vision, the bigger over mission, so that you can attract a broader type of clientele, fans of the show, people that love listening to your things. And then for the people that want to niche down, that want to kind of geek out with you, they have those streams there. Those are the biggest things, to have the podcast be a marketing channel that actually converts for you.
Mm-hmm. Which actually leads me into my next question. So I like that you ended like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people can see podcasts, you know, they're hearing us talk and we're giving out information, we're talking, telling stories. How does someone monetize a podcast?
So this is a great question, and I think it's one of the biggest myths of podcasting. And let me give you some context. I've spoken at some of the largest podcasting conferences all around North America, you know, from Podcast Movement to Podfest, like all the big ones. And one of the things that you notice very quick when you're at any of these conferences is that monetization, that track alone, that is a very popular track. You know, people are, you know, storming into the room early. People are standing in the back. People are sitting in the kind of middle aisle there because they're trying to figure this piece out. Right. Mm-hmm. And a huge proponent, huge myth, at least what I thought in the beginning, was that if you launch a podcast, you need to go get sponsors and affiliates so that you could go and, you know, be a successful brand. And that's how you're going to monetize your show. Yes, technically, you can go do that. I think for a lot of the business owners, though, solopreneurs, people that are knowledge experts, that's actually not the fastest way to go monetize your show. The way to monetize your show is kind of the same model for how you monetize a YouTube channel, how you monetize any type of community, is that you go and create the content so that you attract the people and you attract the right people that's ultimately wanting to be in your community, your avatar. And that represents the front end of your business, right? Mm-hmm. Your front end's job is to drive relevant traffic. That's it, mm-hmm. right? Money doesn't live on the front end. Yeah. Money lives on the back end. What's the back end? The back end is your coaching programs. The back end maybe are your courses. It's the mastermind. It's the retreat. It's how you want to dive deeper with people in the relevant traffic. So the balance of this, and this is so important, because when I didn't understand this, I made very little, if none, money in my business. Because you see a lot of times business owners are focused on how much engagement am I getting on my Instagram? How many likes am I getting, Sarah? How many downloads are you getting? What are the YouTube views, right? These are common questions, right?
Yep.
And then people are basing their whole self-worth off these things, which is a kind of a different conversation. But what are they focusing on? They're focusing on the front end where money doesn't live. Mm-hmm. So of course they're not making any money, right? Of course, no matter how much you optimize any of these things, of course you're not making money, because the job of the front end is to drive traffic, whereas the job of the back end is to be able to convert that traffic into a community and figure out what those pain points are for people in that community so that you can create products and services to be able to serve them at the highest level.
You summed that up so well. And I think so many people think that they're putting out so much time and effort and knowledge, and they think, how can I make money off this? When that is not the mindset to have at all.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. I am willing to invest in the personal branding, in the channels, because it's a channel, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm willing to invest the time to learn Instagram, YouTube, podcasting as the channels, because I know their job is to drive the traffic. I don't try to make money. Now, have I made money through podcast sponsors? Yes. Right? Have I made money speaking around North America? Yes. But do I want to bank my lifestyle? Do I want to bank the security of my family around that, off those things? I don't know. I don't know if that's creating a real business model, right? You want to be able to drive as much traffic. So, you know, if any of your episodes go viral, or if, you know, you interview a huge celebrity, you want that to ultimately drive you traffic over time. Mm-hmm. And what you should be focusing on as a business owner is building an actual business that converts people in that community into potential buyers down the line, and you should be solving a problem. And that's as basic as it needs to get.
Mm-hmm. And even like what we were talking before, it creates that know, like, and trust. It creates that authority of who you are, and it creates that better relationship with your potential buyer moving forward.
100%. And then it even adds, it's kind of like it adds fire to the whole process when you have that level of intimacy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And when you, like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this from people in our accelerator programs or people that we work with that are our high-end, you know, clients that are kind of like more done for you type of, you know, in that range, where they said, I listened to your podcast like for 6 months, a year, I've heard. You know, or they started working with us and then they went back and they listened to the whole thing because they want to get to know you. Mm-hmm. Right. But after that, it changes the frame because you just like if you listen to like 20 hours of content from anybody, it cuts the it doesn't matter how long you've known them. You know some things about them. You know their story, you know their kind of like funny little talents or what have you. You know what's kind of like quirky about them. So I think there's nothing better to kind of pour gasoline on that front end than being on podcasts and having your own podcast.
Mm, I love it. And as a fitness professional or anyone looking to launch a podcast, what would you say the main 3 to 5 reasons to launch and host a podcast would be?
So number one overarching reason is that you want to put a voice behind your products and services. Because look, I I'm just taking the fitness industry as an example, but I can only imagine how flooded the fitness market is, right? Just kind of similar like personal development, right? Mm-hmm. There's everybody's doing personal or online market. Everybody's doing online marketing. Everybody's doing fitness, right? Yeah. So how the heck does one stand out, right? There's only a few different ways of doing it. One is in building what's called an attractive character, right? Where you're kind of like that centerpiece. People vibe with you, Sarah. They love what you have to say. So they listen, right? It's about getting people to listen. It's not about the content, but it's putting them in the right context, right? And so the number one reason why you need to have a podcast is you're putting a voice behind your brand. You're putting a voice behind that, you know, 14-day detox. You're putting a voice behind the 90-day fitness boot camp. You're putting a voice and personality to these things so that it can stand out, right? Mm-hmm. That's why people buy certain brands. They don't buy it because, you know, it's you know, so they justify it logically. Oh, because this material is a little better, or oh, because they have these machines or whatever it is, right? But they buy it because of the brand. They buy it because of the status. They buy it because they feel understood by the brand and its representation of themselves. So that's the number, like that's like, you know, I know you asked for like 3 to 5 things, but for me, like it's a no brainer because you want to be able to stand out in your marketplace. That is something that you can do. And then number two, here's the thing. Even if you're just starting out, you can now, you have like, you know, yesterday alone, I'll give you an example. Yesterday alone, I sent out about 10 to 15 interview requests. Most of these people are going to say no, but the one or two people, statistically speaking, that will say yes to me, they are massive celebrities. And it's beyond the personal development realm now, but it's like the way that you can collaborate with your heroes, mm-hmm. with people in the fitness industry, with, you know, your own people that you look up to, that you aspire to, right? What are you doing, you know, by default? You're positioning yourself next to the greats, right? Tony Robbins says proximity is power, mm-hmm. right? That's mm-hmm. This is a great way of undercutting all whatever you think you have to go through, right? So that your proximity to these people that are great are that much better or that much closer. And if you create an amazing piece of content, you know what happens? They share that within their community. Boom, all of a sudden, warm traffic over cold traffic. Right? Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to be in business for 5 minutes to know that you want as much warm traffic as possible, right? Because now your message, your show, everything around you, your value system is being endorsed by that celebrity in your industry. And so that's what I would encourage a lot of the listeners here, whether you're in fitness industry, whether you're in something different, to think about that. How can you apply that into your own thing? Are you putting a voice behind your fitness movement? Who are the people in your little niche, right? Whether it's DNA testing or it's women's fitness or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Who are the people that you could collaborate with so that they could help introduce you to their markets.
Mm-hmm. And it gives you that reason to reach out. And I mean, you know, Joe and I know from doing interviews, you know, such as, you know, talking to yourself, it's also a learning experience for yourself along the way. I've learned so much and been given so much insight and even just more validation for what we're doing. So it changes your mindset for your business as well.
100%. And you know what? That's a true opportunity to build a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a true opportunity to not just email someone and say, hey, can I pick your brain?
Yeah.
You know, can I ask you a few little questions and can I express to you my story? It's the idea of giving first. It's the most basic premise of let me help you share your message. And through that process, we could either build a relationship. Look, you're not going to be best friends of every single person you interview, but the ones that you deepen that relationship with, those become go-to people as you continue to grow and scale your movement.
Yes. Love that. Now, let's say someone's listening to this and they're like, yes, Jay, like I'm on board. I want to launch a podcast. I have this brand. I want to put a voice. Yeah. And they're like, I'm scared. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I don't like my voice. What would you say to someone who is afraid to put themselves out there?
This is a really interesting question because this is something that I think a lot about. And the reason I think a lot about it is because a lot of people have this exact pain. Mm-hmm. They don't know, you know, they feel like they ramble on too much. They feel like maybe they don't like their voice. Maybe they feel like on some level that they're not sure the value that they even have to share. And, you know, I think about this, like, this is how I think about it. The fact that anybody feels the need, like their intuition, a little tap on their shoulder, a little tap in their heart or whatever it is to want to share a message, right, out into the world, that speaks volume about that person. Here's the thing though. I feel like a lot of people get that tap, but not a lot of people are able to execute on it, mm-hmm. right? And here's the difference. I think a lot of times people are waiting to have that confidence, that clarity. And then once they have that and they're like, you know what, I'm good with this, then they're going to move, right? And if you think about it in real life and you think about how you like internalize things, that's not actually how it happens. No. It's actually almost kind of like the inverse of that. And so let me give all the listeners like just a super quick example that I always use with my students is, you know, imagine, you know, I say, hey, Sarah, like, you know, I know you guys are living out there. I'd love for you to come over to my place for a barbecue tonight. Okay. Drive over to my place. Can you make it? Awesome. You can. Okay. Here's the address of my house. All right. You're sitting in your driveway or you're sitting in the parking lot, whatever, and you type it into Google Maps or I don't know if anybody uses anything besides Google Maps, but you know, you type it into Google Maps. You're like, this is the address 123, you know, Jay Wong Street, right? Mm-hmm. So you're like, and then Google gives you like all these, like, you know, there's like 50 different steps or whatever. Right. And so what most people are trying to do is literally they're trying to like get to the confidence. They're trying to get clarity. They're trying to like, you know, memorize the directions mm-hmm. to get to where they want to go. Right. And if you think about that, it's ridiculous because that's not actually what would happen. Right. Google would say, hey, go, you know, back out of the street and go left, you know, and then once you go left, it tells you drive 300 meters. Right. And so you kind of like as you do one thing, you get clarity on what to do next. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's the same thing with confidence and clarity. You have to move first for you to get to where you want to go. You have to move first for you to get to that confidence, to that clarity. And if you don't do that, this is what ends up happening. Listen very carefully. You end up sitting in the parking lot or your driveway of your dreams, and you end up being one of these people that talks about how one day you would love to do that. Or, you know, one day I'm going to have the confidence to write that book or, you know, launch my podcast or do whatever it is. And you try to memorize it all. You try to map it out. You try to, you know, practice and get the right confidence, but you never actually move on it. So you can't ever actually get there. You'll miss the barbecue. And I don't want you to miss the barbecue because I love a good barbecue.
Oh, that is so powerful.
I hope that answered your question, but honestly, That's what I think. Like, I know a lot of people are struggling with it, but look, everybody's struggling with it. Yeah. The only difference is for people that actually like do it is that they get better at it, because the only way to get better at it is through
through
moving that first step and getting more confidence. Look, my first interview that I did, terrible. Okay, terrible. Would be scared to show you, be very, very nerve-wracking. The 10th interview, didn't even recognize myself, right? Mm-hmm. 50th interview, sound kind of close, like what I'm sounding like now. Like the 100th interview, didn't even remember what it felt like to do the first one, mm-hmm. right? So it's a progression thing, right? One of my mentors always said, choose progress over perfection. You know, and always think about that. I always say, okay, you know, what's the next thing that, how can I move closer? How can I attend the barbecue and not stay trapped in on that parking lot?
Yeah, I always believe in just jumping and figuring it out on your way down. And the more people I talk to, and I love that I, you know, do these interviews and talk to amazing entrepreneurs like yourself, and I realize that, like, no one has it all figured out. And that's cool. Like, that is just part of the journey, and you just have to let it unfold, and it might be messy and you might make that detour or fall off the road, but that's just part of the, that's just part of the journey.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jay, I want to thank you so much for your time. Now, I know you just launched a new Facebook group. You know, you got some population going on there. You got some great things going on. Legacy-driven entrepreneurs, everyone listening here, as soon as we're done this podcast, as soon as you're done listening, please head on over to Facebook. What's going on in that group over there?
So, you know, this was one of the, you know, you're talking about launching, right? I wouldn't say it's a full-on regret, but one of the things that I had wish, if I could go back in time to do it all over again, I would want to focus more on the community side of things. It's one thing for people to get great content from you. It's kind of another when they're meeting people that are implementing the same ideas that you are trying to do, right? It's like being in that, you know, it's the same reason why you would attend a mastermind. You want to be around other like-minded people. And so Legacy-Driven Entrepreneurs is a group of entrepreneurs that are focused on not just creating as many streams of incomes or profit for themselves, but they're looking a little further ahead. They're saying, how can I create that legacy for myself? How can I become the best version of myself? So it goes beyond just my podcast, right? It's not just people that listen to my podcast. It's not just like that where I'm like telling you all the inside traits, tricks, but in that group is the only place on Facebook that I focus on and I share in a free community. You have to apply, you have to be the right fit, but it is a free community where I share kind of, you know, the one or two things that I love doing, whether it's in, you know, sharing my message, whether it's in podcasting, whether it's in building a business, and it's in helping everybody create the legacy that they ultimately want. So I appreciate you for really mentioning that and noticing that, because it's something I really haven't been pushing out there, but it's moving forward. I want to be able to showcase kind of more behind the scenes, kind of like the interview format, and being able to have that kind of live interaction with people that are in midst of creating, you know, their success. I think that is going to be invaluable for the community. I'm just really excited to kind of bring, you know, some crazy people together. I always say crazies attract other crazies. Yeah. And if that vibes with you, then I'd love for you to have you apply.
I love it. I love it. And I truly believe, you know, in order to get ahead, you really need to lock arms with people. We need to learn together. We need to mastermind together. And, you know, I just love that I had the ability to meet you last month at Craig's event. And if I hadn't done that, then, you know, this interview wouldn't be happening. And the more you connect and the more that you network, it just keeps unfolding and it just spiderwebs out in ways that you might not even recognize at the beginning.
100%, 100%. Mm-hmm. It's all in relationships, mm-hmm. and it's really in how you build your network, right? Everybody knows that saying that your network becomes your net worth, mm-hmm. right? 100%. And so, you know, I'd love to hang out with other people that are going to where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And if that destination, if any of this like spoke to you, I'd love to have you a part of there and love to share with you.
Beautiful. Now, if people want to creep you, find you, where can we do that?
Yeah, so since you're listening to the podcast and we talked about it so much, the Inner Change Maker podcast is a great avenue to get to know my work. We've interviewed millionaires and even a few billionaires. We had Naveen Jain on as well as Tom Bilyeu, and check out that as a great way to kind of be introduced, and you can kind of follow all my links and all on social all through there.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate your time. Thank you for giving us so much amazing, insightful knowledge on podcasting and entrepreneurship, and really just having that strength to go after what you want and not let it take 9 years like it did for yourself.
Well, Sarah, I appreciate the opportunity, and this was awesome. I talked about a lot of things I didn't talk about before, so can't wait to share this. And if anybody listening to this, you're still listening to this because, you know, you like Sarah, please let us know what some of your takeaways were, if you had any takeaways, if you... if you didn't vibe with it, I mean, let us know so that we know, how to create better content for you guys. Mm-hmm.
I love that. And you never know what someone's going to take away from an episode. You know, we try to always put out their good content and stories and make connections with people, but you never know what's going to resonate with someone. So I love that you put that out there. We would love to hear from you.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thank you, Jay.
All right. Talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Want to discover how you can begin to tap into your inner changemaker and become the leader for the important people around you? You can now grab a copy of my new audio training, How to Be the Leader You Truly Are, for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership. Inside the training, you will find my top 3 proven strategies from millionaires and billionaires that have been featured on the show. And by simply applying them, I was able to go from sleeping in my parents' living room to leading and running multiple successful businesses and began an endless journey of impacting those closest to me. You can do it too. Go to www.theinnerchangemaker.com/leadership to get your free copy now.